Let's stand, if you would, please. Again, I'm glad to always be here at Landmark. I love Brother Muncie and his precious wife. Had a great dinner today over Sam and Sandy's, and appreciated that. You guys have always been sweet and kind, and I just consider you family. Amen? And I'm happy, always thrilled to be here. I want to finish the message on what Christians can lose. Gave you 6 points. I've got 4 more. Amen? And I got a few minutes to give them, but we need this. And in the Bible it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." God, help us see the importance of holding on to these things. Lord, our country depends upon the church to be powerful, to be sensitive, to be working. God, there's something about obedience that, God, you bless. Our ears are open. Our eyes are open. There's a power, God, that we have because you give it to us. God, may we learn from Israel. Lord, you took their power. You took their sight, their vision. Lord, they no longer could hear you. Now we look at a nation where kids are clueless who Jesus is. God, America's in trouble. You still have us here. The rapture, Lord, we look forward to it. But until that day comes, Lord, may we hold on to these things, be fruitful in our work, and God, may we pass it on to those that we love. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Things that a Christian can lose, man, keep the first love. And you might say, well, what? There's all kind of things in that. You just study the book. But the bottom line is, if you get to the place where you grow cold towards God, you're in trouble. That's just that bottom line. And the church hurts. We talked about that. Make sure you ought to sense yourself when you get complacent. There's a time in first love you do things. Man, it's real. It's growing. It's glowing. And you open the door. You do little things, little thoughtful things. It's the same way serving the Lord. He knows when you take special attention to what he wants you to do, what he has done. God, forgive us if we'd ever forget that he loved us enough to send his son to the cross. And the cross is a picture of his son that was obedient. Amen. The first Adam brought death, but thank God the last Adam brought us life. And what's the difference? Well, Eve got her eyes off of the Lord and believed a lie. And Christ came. The devil shot him with some lies, but the devil came back with the word of God. Amen. Great examples. Just do it God's way. Not only are you blessed, but others are blessed. You and I are standing here saved because of the obedience of God's Son. And may you and I, with first love, do those extra things that keep a church strong, keep our lives pure. Amen. And keep you and I where we're thinking about him. Bible says when I come back, many won't have their faith. They won't be in a first love attitude. They'll just be existing the Bible through the whole New Testament. Tells you and I to wake up. Wake up. And so evidently, we get to the place where we don't have that first love. We're not looking for him. We're not working for him. We're just existing. Me and you. It takes the wood of the Word of God to keep that fire hot. And that's the working of the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible talks about the joy of God's salvation. I found 5 quick things that'll take the joy from your heart when you quit a devotional life. You might say, well, I get enough on Sunday. Baloney. Get in the Bible every day. You need a devotional time. Amen. Number 2, when you have an unthankful spirit. My goodness, isn't that crazy when you get bitter towards somebody, either at work or here at the church, and that thing just boils and festers. And next thing you know, you don't want to pray. You're mad at God. You're mad at your church. You know what's happened? You can't walk with joy. Everybody, listen, they're going to walk in the other aisle. They don't want to mess with you. You are a problem. If you lose your joy, we get ugly. The third thing about losing the joy of God's salvation is we dream. We dream. We never do anything. One of these days, I'm going to get back involved. You know what? You're just putting God off and you're fooling yourself. Bottom line is you've lost the joy of God's love in your heart. And because of that, you're trying to find it somewhere else. And so we're dreaming. You ever talk about somebody, they're always going to tell you what they're going to do and they never get it done. Fourth thing, talks about comparing yourself with others. So you won't get in trouble when you start comparing yourself. Well, I can't sing like so-and-so. And you know what? God made you different. He's got something for you, for this church. And anytime the devil can rob you of your joy, that joy not only robs you, but it robs others. God did give you a gift. Find it and use it. Amen. And I found this out. If you're not operating in that spiritual supernatural, not only are you going to be a mess, but others are going to realize that they're trying too hard. They're trying to do this in their flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, it's not of your flesh. Your flesh is already yielded to the power of God, and everybody benefits. Have you ever seen somebody teach or preach or sing? They think, man, they just seem like it's so easy because there is a joy in the Lord. Amen. And they're not doing it to please you or them. They're doing it to please the Master. It's all about Him. Keep the joy of God's salvation. Then it talks about impure thoughts. Now listen, we're living in a time, it's always been a problem. If your thinking goes south, you're in trouble. And it's crazy how the devil can pull your mind. But the Bible's clear in Colossians, set your affection on things above. How do you lose your joy? You start getting around the wrong people. Listen to the wrong stuff. It's a poison. And it'll absolutely rob you of the joy of your salvation. Listen, David, man, you know the story of David. It all changed when he began to have his attention towards things that he shouldn't be. And you think, oh, that'll never happen to me. You'll be the next one. Oh, yeah. Hey, man, catch yourself. Devil is good. Anything that he can do to beguile you, that word beguile means to dazzle you. That we have natural appetites that's just with us. If you don't keep those in check with the Word of God, you're in trouble. Right. Well, preacher, I can stop it when I want to. You goofy. No, you can't. You can't control that. It's a beast. Right. And I promise you, it'll take you down. We talked about number three, fellowship with God. Nothing any sweeter when you and God have fellowship together. We find it with the brothers. I mean, Cain didn't have fellowship, amen, caused pain. Seth paid the price. God brought another one up. You see it there in the first family. You see it all the way through. Enoch walked with God. You know what that means? He walked in evil times, but he had fellowship with God. You and I can still walk with God's power. We can fellowship with Him. We fellowship through the Word of God. We fellowship through prayer. We fellowship through other believers. Then we talked about you lose the fellowship of believers. We need one another. I need you. You need me. Every church is just a team that comes together, humbles himself under the Word of God. No one trying to strut their stuff. It's God doing the work through His people. And so we need the fellowship with believers. Now, with this virus, there's a battle going on. And you just got to ask yourself, God, give me wisdom. Amen. The Bible's clear, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. In these last days, I don't know how we'll do it, but the devil will always fight God's people coming together because there's something that takes place. Accountability, we need it. It's just in us to be lazy. But every time I get in the book, there's an inner power that I get from the Holy Spirit. You realize this book has life in it. Not only does it have life, but it nourishes the life that Christ gave me. It allows me to see things that I need to see to remind me. Thank God for signs on the road. Man, it lets you know, slow it down. Thank you. Because I was kind of in a daze. Amen. Thank God for the rumble strips. I said it probably every time I preach. You know how many times it saved my life? I'm glad somebody thought before I got there, somebody fat and sassy going to fall asleep about 9 o'clock. We better put those in there to keep him out of the ditch. You know how many times that thing's jolted me? It's just a fellowship with God's people. It's the preaching of God's word. I need it and you need it. Amen. And every time the devil says, stay home, man, just stand up and say, I'm not going to let the devil get the joy of my salvation. I need the Word, I need God's people, and I'm going to go to the house of God. Then he talks about not just a fellowship with believers, but vision. I'm telling you, you quit seeing something, you'll lose your purpose. If you quit seeing that Christ is coming, where you see it in the Word, when you quit reading the Bible and you lose your vision, you are in trouble. I gave you a few things. If you don't have faith, you don't have vision. Faith cometh by hearing of the Word of God. You need to study it. You need to hear it. You need to be mindful. The Bible says you need to meditate upon these things. Amen. You need to occupy with these things. Why? Because this is what keeps you and I losing our vision. If you lose your vision, you'll stumble. Proverbs teaches you and I, Psalms teaches you and I, First chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, the importance of the Word of God, the importance of who we hang out with. Why? It's vision. God says, I want to direct you. I want to help you. I want to keep you out of trouble. I want to keep you on the path of light. Amen. I want to make sure that you go forward and not drift. You take the book of Hebrews. It was a concern of God because He saw it with the people. They drifted. What happens when you take your eyes off the road to read a text? They say in a matter of seconds, you drift off. Not only is your life in danger, but everybody else's is. We need a vision from the Word of God. God, what is it you'd have me to do? God, remind me how you worked with the old patriarchs of the Old Testament. God, remind me what happened when Samson got his eyes. David got his eyes off you. Lot got his eyes off you. May I keep my eyes and my heart in the right place, so God can do great things. Be careful, Christian. You can't lose your salvation, but there are some things you can lose. The Bible's clear. You can lose your first love. You can lose the joy of God's salvation. You can lose your fellowship with God. There's folks tonight ought to be in church, but you know what? They've lost the fellowship of God's people. We all long to be together. Bible talks about the vision there in Matthew 13:13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see and see not. You know what, guys? What has God got to do to wake up us to see things? Does He have to bring in higher powers? Or when I say that, with Israel, He brought in little things, but they didn't see it. Next thing you know, He had to bring in, bigger armies and kings to shake them up. You know why? They lost their vision. In that same verse, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. God, help us to get to the place where we don't even understand the plan of God anymore. He talks about this. We ended with this morning. And that is in Deuteronomy 32, verse 36. You know what a Christian can lose? You can lose your power. The church was birthed early in the life of Christ, but it was empowered in Acts 2. Man, I'm telling you, they did great things. And in that empowerment, souls were saved. They turned cities upside down. They had a vision. They heard from God. They had a zeal. Man, they was walking and strutting in that first love. Will you watch that church as you go through the epistles? Next thing you know, the power is not like it used to be. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in other people's life. If you're not careful, little things will begin to come in your life. You're out of the book. You're out of church. Things aren't right. Your prayer life stinks. Before you know it, yes, I'm saved, but you're not operating in God's power. And when that power is taken from you because of your disobedience, not only do you pay for it, but all of a sudden you're not winning souls. All of a sudden you're not sensitive towards a lost soul. Before you know it, people have need. You're too busy in your own ball game to help somebody else. We get to the place where we get selfish. We don't care. God, help us to stay sensitive. Help us to walk with power in the Word of God. Judges chapter 16, verse 20. Bible says, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He woke up out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson operated. We saw great things in his life because of power. But because of sin, amen, power was taken from him. He wanted to do great things, but you can't ride the fence. You got one master. You can't serve two. It'll bite you. It'll get you every time. He wanted to do something for God, but God said, I've taken the power off of you. Bible goes on to say in verse 21, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes. Bible says, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison's house. What's the point? Don't linger at the enemy's border. It'll always cost you. You can't play on both fields. You say, oh, I'd never do that. Yeah, you will. It's happened many times. A blowout is usually just a slow leak that finally just gives up. Why? Because it was never addressed. A lot of times you won't even know you got a leak unless you're in the Bible. There's something in the Word that keeps you sensitive. You can hear things you normally wouldn't hear. You can see things that normally you wouldn't see. That's God's business, working and channeling through His people. You get out of the book, get out of church, get away from God's people. You get to the place you're not sensitive. You don't see it, neither do you hear. Things are going on, you ain't paying no attention because He's got you wrapped up in the wrong things. Right. Well, preacher, I'm here tonight. I'm so glad. Thank God. But I'm just trying to remind you and me, it don't take long. We start losing some of these things. And we'll find it on the side of the road. Here's another thing. You'll lose your influence. I don't know about you, but my life changed with godly men and women who were an influence in my life. Through Sunday school, through evangelists, through missionaries. These are men that sold out. These are women that stood. I mean, I can still tell you their names. I can tell you what they did. They influenced me. Their faithfulness, their desire, their humility, all those things. Little eyes see. Little ears hear. Bible says influence has to do with spiritual character. Let me give you a verse. Genesis chapter 19, verse 14. And Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When it got to the place where he needed to be heard, his sons-in-law said, you know what? You have no influence over us. We watched you play both sides of the field. Now you want us to take your word? It means nothing. God help us. May the church not lose our voice in these troubled times. May we set our pace based upon the Word of God. Listen, it's all through the Bible. All through the Bible. David tried to step up with Goliath and his brothers are yelling, you crazy thing, go back home. Get out of there, he'll rip you apart. Anybody. Peter gets in the boat and I mean, next thing you know, I don't know what the disciples were saying. Here's what I learned from it. Anytime you and I try to do it God's way, somebody's going to say something to try to deflate you. That's just the way the devil works. He's got to shoot his darts. The question is, will you have the armor on? Amen. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. You know how it goes. The sword of the shield of, I mean, all those things is this message. If you think you can live in this filthy world without the armor of God, you ain't going to last long. Now, we would even think in this story, was Lot even saved? Well, thank God the Bible tells us he was. Other than the fact that if we didn't read it, you'd have every reason in the world to question it. Isn't that crazy to be saved and not have power? To be saved and not have vision or sight? To be saved and have no fellowship? You know the story. The angels came and they couldn't fellowship with Lot and his family. They hastened. They actually had to go into the house and grab them by the hand to pull them out. They were so involved in the world that they didn't hear it. They didn't see it. They were just dull. And the angels of God, messengers, grabbed them and pulled them out. Well, that's grace, isn't it? Mercy. And then even his wife still couldn't get it out of her system. And she turned into a pillar of salt. What I'm saying is it can happen to any of us. And it's not going to get better, Pastor, is it? I mean, it's just not. It's going to get worse. So what do we got to do? Make sure that we're children of faith. And in these days, if you think the world's going to applaud your faith, you better get in the Bible. They're going to laugh at you. So the Bible just reminds you that your things that a Christian can lose, you can lose your power. You can lose your influence. Then the Bible says you can lose your life. You realize some Christians have been taken home early because they wouldn't repent and get right with God. I'll give you a verse, 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. He's not talking to the lost world. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who he tried to win them back as far as through chastisement. He whipped. The spirit was grieved. But there's something about sin. If you don't deal with it quick, it just does something to us. We have a false confidence. Samson said, I'll get up. I'll shake this thing off. Bless God. God said, no. I've done left you. Saul had a great start. Spirit of God was upon Saul before you know it. What happened? Saul turned to the world, turned to the wrong God, went to the wizard. God said, I'll jerk my spirit off of you. Serious business when God takes an action on you. And here's a Christian that God says, if you're not going to live and give me glory here, I'm going to remove you. Yeah, it's serious stuff. So he tells you and I, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjection unto the Father of spirits? And then he puts a charge to it. And live. See, the devil brings for death. The lust of the flesh. All those things. Pride of life. You know, they always say that, you know, we need the Bible daily. Why? Because it just trims us down. It's like a beard, man. If you don't keep it trimmed, it'll get ugly. Shaggy. Ugly. But if you'll just spend a little time on that beard, it'll be all right. What's the same with your life? If you don't spend time going through that thing and bringing it down, get rid of those things that's going to cause you trouble, you're going to end up like one of these. It's sad. He said, I've come that you might live, that you might have a life and have it more abundantly. But the devil says, I'm out to rob you of God's joy. I don't want you to bear fruit. I don't want you to live with the joy of your salvation. I'm out to bring you down. There's a battle going on. But it's too big for us. I can handle him. I have never met anybody in that Bible that handled the devil. Because the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Joshua, I want you to go. That it's yours. Go possess the land. Joshua looked out there and said, but there's people, there's enemies, yeah. But I'm going to give you the victory, but I need for you with your faith to be obedient and go. It's the same system. We are victorious. Heaven's my home. Amen. I'm not trying to get there. My name's already been written down. But there is a battle. God forbid that he would rob us of this power that he wants you and I to have. God forbid that he'd have to give us a premature death because of our own disobedience. It's the Word of God that keeps your heart soft. Listen to me. I've seen people that I really thought they were saved. And they just got to the place where bitter towards God, bitter towards people. And then before you know it, they don't want to come to church. And looking outside, looking in, you can see, my goodness, whether it be this happened or that happened, everything falls apart. You think they'd run to the altar. No. That wedge gets deeper. And I've seen a lot of men. I've seen some ladies. I really believe that God just removed them. They didn't live out their years that God had planned. God brought them to a place of death. Now, that does something to me. I think the Word of God helps me to enjoy small things. I mean, it's the Word of God that keeps you sensitive, keeps your heart soft. And it helps you to value friendships and, you know, churches that you love and people that you love. I feel like I got a family all across so many states. God's been so good to me. I'm so grateful, so thankful. But even though I'm so thankful for all those things, the devil's always looking one place to get in. And any time that he begins to knock, and any time I open that door a little bit, and there's times I do. And the Lord quickly says, David, shut that thing. Go no further. Shut it up. Boy, I know. Listen, I know. God's trying to tell me, David, don't you dare give him a toehold. Because if you give him a toehold, he's going to go for the foot. If he gets the foot, he's got a snare on you and he'll bring you down. He'll do the same to all of you. Amen. These are things that Christians can lose. My last point is rewards. Bible says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. There's some things that you can lose. You can possess them today and lose your vision, lose your sight, lose your sensitivity, lose your joy. Next thing you know, you don't want to run. You don't want to be faithful. You don't want to study. You don't want to deal with sin. You fall into the wrong crowd. You get this attitude. The only thing that I can do to help my attitude is the Word. Because I can get ugly. Anybody else like that? But man, the Word just kind of says, David, come on, you know better than that. Don't be ugly. You ever hear the Holy Spirit? Don't be ugly. Love reaches people a lot more than fist. You know, you take a man, sometimes we just want to see, I'll just meet me out there. Just meet me out there. All right, best man win. Amen, or whatever. But when you're sweet with the Spirit of God, you think, you know what, fist ain't the way to go anymore. So I said, let's go Gold Crown. Let's talk about it over a buffet. If you still want to fight after that, then we'll try a Chinese place. I don't know. But the idea is make sure you build with right materials. Don't the Bible give us two classifications? The right materials would be what? Gold, silver, and? And they will be tried. But it's in the midst of the fire that it reveals, it's the real faith. But wood, hay, and stubble in the fire will be burned. So, you know, I'll forget that. If I don't stand the Word and let the Holy Spirit of God remind me, David, you might have a lot of people faked out, but one day they'll really know who you are. But that helps me, Pastor. I don't want you to see me down the road and think, man, if I'd known that, I'd never had that boy in. See, the Bible says in Hebrews that if we'll spend time in the Word of God now and let Him make the corrections in us, amen, yield to it now, we won't be embarrassed later. And there's been many times that I bowed my head and said, God, thank you. I didn't realize I veered off that much. But if you never get in the book, isn't the Bible a mirror? Amen. How many looked in the mirror before you came? Yeah. I mean, it kind of helps. Like, I didn't know I had a coffee stain right here. Oh, Lord, there it is. Well, I covered up with my tie. But now, you know what happened? I remembered when I was coming out of the house this morning, my coffee cup slipped out of my arm, and I grabbed it, and man, it shot up. I jumped back, but my belly got in the way. Daryl, it landed right there. I would have never known it until I looked in a mirror. You know, there might be things in your life that you'd never know that was there, that could be a problem, unless you get in the Word and say, God, let that Bible be a mirror. Let me see what my natural eye can't see. And before you know it, He'll speak to your heart and you'll say, God, thank you. Had no idea. God forbid that you and I would build with the wrong materials and end up embarrassed. 2 John says it like this, look to yourselves, lest we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. The Bible helps you to guard those things that are precious to Him. God help us to have the attitude, if God loves it, may I love it. I'm in trouble if I lose that first love for the things that He loves. And then I begin to embrace those things that He hates. May I guard and have a full reward. God forbid the devil take that from me. So He reminds you and I, in Revelation 3:11, He said, let no man take thy crown. These are things that we can have. But the devil's out to take them from us. It's a constant battle. But I want to remind you, if you're saved, I mean truly saved, he can never get your soul. You're saved. The blood's been applied. Amen? God has been satisfied. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that we can know that we have a salvation. Amen? Eternal. So thank God I know those things. But I'm glad that I can be mindful of some things he wants to take from us. Amen? Don't give them up. Fight for them. Stay in the book. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.